Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook, and thank you for listening.
Please do continue to listen as we'll be broadcasting continuously from this point until the end of the world, I think, on WUSB Stony Brook. It's time once again for Off the Wall. And a very good evening A very good evening to everybody, is what I'm trying to say here on this Tuesday evening. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for another action-packed edition of Off the Wall, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hey, I'm back. Hi.
You're back, and you came in last night.
Yeah.
And this time, you didn't take a train, you took something else.
Yeah, I took an aircraft.
Took an aircraft, but not only did you take an aircraft, you you upgraded yourself, and you flew first class.
Yeah, somehow I was upgraded, and I got to experience the good life.
So, for those of us down here on the ground who will never experience that good life, how good was it? I mean, what goes on up there? I just heard rumors. I've just, you know, basically heard things on Entertainment Tonight and whispers in the hallways and things like that. I don't really know the facts. You're the first person I think I've ever met who's actually been there and done it.
Well, you're not really supposed to say anything, but definitely...
Really? They make you sign something? Or?
Well, it's more of a prayer, and they have candles and stuff. And
on the airplane, they have candles.
No, I'm making that up. All but I don't know. It was really good. I needed it. I needed it very badly. I was actually anticipating my flight was going to leave about an hour later than it really did. So I was really stressed out.
So wait, you got the time wrong, is what you're saying?
I got the time totally wrong. And it's very hot in the Northwest right now. We had like 7 straight days or like 5 straight days of sun. Getting up into, like, the upper 70s,
right.
Which in Washington feels really hot for some reason. Although, I guess, I don't know, I lived in Chicago for a while, and I came back once, and it was, you know, not as hot as I thought. But once you get sort of acclimated to the Northwest, I think people really notice that, like, 72 degrees, they're like, wow, it's sweltering here, you know, which is odd for people that, you know, in big cities where it gets really, really hot and humid. But in any event, so it was basically, you know, hot, and I was really uncomfortable, and just trying to make this flight.
Right.
So that was it. I had my just enough room. They only had one overhead container left. It was just one in first class, and there were people that were, you know, standing right before the entrance to the plane as I had walked down the skyway, and they were negotiating, and they were going to have to check something or, you know, working it out with the greeting attendant and stuff, but she kind of then asked me, and she's like, oh, you are in first class, because she was just sort of ushering me back, and they had all these...
You didn't have the first class look, I guess.
Right. Well, and I had a lot of bags, and she was probably going to give me the same, like, riot act about bags and stuff, or like, will that... She's basically starting out by like, hey, will that fit in the overhead compartment? Turns out there was one free one, and I guess because there were only 2 seats left in first class, it hadn't been occupied yet, she was sort of reserving that last overhead compartment for first-class people. So as soon as I said, well, I think it's assigned seating, because she was sort of going to let me take any seat in coach or whatever. I don't know if they assigned seats or not for those people. But wow. I did have an assigned seat, and it was a window seat, too. So once I got my bags up, and then I had to, you know, go over to my seat and plop my coat and things down. And, you know, that's inside by the window. And then I had to get back up and get my phone out, because the thing was still on. It was like across all the way on the opposite side of the plane in the front part, and I had a seat in the very rear part of that first class section.
And didn't
so
you...
already I was like, I was happy that I had space and my bags just fit, and that I okay finally sit down, and it's this very large seat, and that's when I started taking it in a little bit.
But no, you left that. What was the part about assaulting an old woman? Wasn't that in there too somewhere?
Oh my God! Why?
I'm sorry to bring it up like that, but that is how it was officially recorded, I think.
So, when we were traveling in Belarus, I had this small bottle. If anybody finds it in Belarus, I would like it back.
Yeah, in Minsk. It's like a little bit easy for them. In Minsk.
Yeah, in Minsk.
It's down one of the main roads. And
it's one of these Nalgene bottles with a black top, and it's like tennis ball yellow. And it's a good water bottle, and it was like a 12 or 16-ounce version. And they're great water bottles.
We could have gone back. We could have made it, I think.
Yeah,
we could have gone all the way back and gotten that bottle.
And I like to stay hydrated. Hydration and, like, overall health is good, especially when you're traveling and as in spring. So I've got this new one to replace the one I lost, and it's a little bit bigger. It's a 32-ounce version of these bottles.
Yeah, plunk it on the table so we can hear it.
It's a substantial bottle. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. It's plastic, obviously.
Yeah, but it's shatterproof. They're really great. So I've been, you know, wanting to drink water, and so I had this bottle, and it's hot. I mean, I'm leaving Seattle.
You're running through the streets of Seattle with all this luggage, trying to get to a plane that you just realized is leaving an hour earlier.
More or less. I mean, that's pretty much the amalgamation of how the day went. It was a bit
rough. So, the old lady got in your way or something?
She was seated, and what was going on is, like, I'd gotten just the two bags up in that forward compartment that was free. Then I was turning to diagonally bisect first class, because my seat was window seat in the far corner of the back of first class, and the free compartment was in the front over, you know.
Wait, you were in the back of first class?
Yeah.
So that's not as elite as the people in the front of first class.
Yeah, I know.
They rank it by that, you know. One is obviously on top, and
upgrade's an upgrade, but you're right. I think I didn't want to make it mean anything.
I mean, in back of you was the cattle car, right? With all the
I got stories about him. I swear he was taking his fingers and like putting it as far up the crack of the seat, like just
there's actual contact between first class and coach? You can actually see the people behind you.
A divider behind the last row of first class.
I thought there was a wall or something.
I swear he was kneading the back of my seat the whole time.
Well, people want in, you know?
Like putting his toes up there.
I would do the same thing if you're that close to success and prosperity. Of course you're going to stick whatever part of you fits.
Right. And so, of course, the way I was seated was... they didn't want me to think I was really in first class. It was just sort of like a taste. You know, you're just on the border. You're just barely
and
you
just
in
just
here.
Easily be sent back to
That's
everybody
right.
else.
It's a reminder. That's what that kneading was. Maybe he was... anyway, so I was turning, and I had a coat and a hat, and I'm sweating, but I had all this stuff on. Why, I don't know. But I wanted to bring a coat because, you never know where we'll end up.
Yeah, of course. You carry a lot. You've been carrying a lot of things, it makes you more flexible.
I like to be prepared, and I can do more activities and stuff like
you
that.
You brought your bicycle again. Of course, you didn't bring that into the plane, though.
Like, I did. Yeah, I brought it.
But, you weren't carrying that with you when you sat down.
That had been checked, but it worked out great. I can talk more about another story. But long story long, I turn around, and I've got this water bottle that's full of water. I just... had enough time before I had gotten to the gate to fill it up again because I had to drink it all before I got into the airport because they'll dump out your water at security. So it was empty when it went through security. Then when I got to the terminal, to my gate, I filled it up at a water fountain. So it was full in my hand. I'd make the turn to pivot from putting my overheads up, and all of a sudden I fumble, and the thing is in this, like, 90-year-old white-haired woman's lap, like, bouncing off her pelvis. I was, like, so just mortified. I was, like...
You really know how to make an entrance, I'll say that.
She didn't skip a beat. She was sort of, like... She sort of lurched a little bit in her chair, but, like, just kind of looked up at me, and I was, like, oh, my... Exclaiming, I was just, really
maybe
upset.
Maybe she was paralyzed or something, so that would definitely be a plus. She wouldn't have felt anything.
Right, they brought her in, like, had a little crane and, like, winched her down into
the anything's
seat.
Possible, or, maybe, I don't know, maybe that kind of interaction just is good for you at that age, having things fall on you by accident. I don't know.
Maybe it,
I'm just reaching here.
Yeah, it's like a deep tissue massage somehow, like, maybe her... It's good
so
for,
it
yeah,
hit her
anyway.
pretty hard coming down at full speed, I guess.
A full 32-ounce water bottle is hard like this. I was so embarrassed, E. I was really
I'll
just...
I'll lie down on the floor and you drop it on me, and we'll see how I feel. No, it's not full.
I don't know. I mean, we have a chair here. If you just sit...
We're both standing. Why am I standing? I'm standing because there's no chair.
I know. You never stand. What's the deal
but
with
But I'll
that?
Tell you what. Standing and doing a radio show, you feel very old school. You feel like you're back in, like, the
like
early
it.
Days of radio. I should be, like, holding my hand over one ear and, like, reading announcements and things like that. And you can walk around. I can walk over here and visit with you. Let's say I'm on this microphone now.
I know. Why would you do that?
Because
why
I can on a chair.
Why would you come over here
What if this
like
mic
that?
Stops working, which it does very often?
Right.
If you look at it the wrong way, this mic will... Oh, by the way, look at that clock. You see that clock there? Isn't that a cool clock?
Hey, you guys got a new clock.
But it's a crazy clock. It's a 24-hour clock. It looks like it's a quarter after 9 when it's actually a quarter after 18. You see, it's very
that is
confusing.
Brilliant.
It's not brilliant because it looks like a regular clock, but it's not, and you're constantly going to think it's the wrong time.
Well, you have to look at the inset digits. There's inset digits for the minutes.
Yeah, I
don't
want to be
smaller.
Looking at inset anything. I want to be able to look at a clock and know what time it is. What if there are no numbers on? Lots of clocks don't have numbers, all right? And this 24-hour clock, it's a quarter after 6, p.m., but this thing says a quarter after 9 because it's a quarter after 18 because there's 24 numbers instead of 12 on the clock.
Right, so the graduations of the angle at which the needles hang aren't as representative as you might traditionally expect.
You can achieve the same effect by simply putting a slash between two numbers, having, say, 6/18 for 6 o'clock and 1800 hours, you know. And that way, everybody's happy, you know, and you don't have a clock that looks like. But it's cool. It's a neat idea. I wish this digital clock here would just have 24-hour format. That would be cool. Hmm. We just use 24-hour format all the time.
Maybe someone will build one.
I want to convert my cable box.
Nixie tubes in acrylic, right? There's a project.
Cable boxes now tell the time.
Yeah.
And that's really what they're good for. They're clocks in every room. But I want them to tell 24-hour time, not 12-hour time. I'd like for it to say 18:18 right now, which is the time in 24-hour format. And there must be a hack to do that. There must be a way to get a cable box to revert to that kind of time instead of 12-hour. I think 12-hour time is silly. But
yeah,
then I think a lot of things are.
I know you've thoroughly investigated the settings there, too, I'm sure.
Taking it apart, put it back together, just can't seem to do it. Asked every single cable guy.
I
lured cable guys into
well.
The house with problems and then asked them, okay, how do you do this? And nobody knows.
Interesting.
All right,
so that's just it. I bludgeoned her with my bottle indirectly.
It was bludgeoning. That is the definition of bludgeoning.
Yeah.
But she said, oh, think nothing of it.
Pretty much. Yeah, it was just like... Yeah, it's all right, or, you know... Just
bought her a drink or something.
She said, just a little pain, is what she said.
Oh, guilt factor. Wow, she knows how to get... That's going to gnaw
yeah.
you.
Well,
over the years, you're going to remember that. Oh, just a little pain, which got worse and worse in my few remaining years.
Yeah, well, maybe...
Until finally.
Maybe she's on some wicked painkillers, or, I don't know, some great, you know, pain tolerance. I don't know, women have... good pain tolerance, all the childbirth and all that, so...
You
but anyway...
She was, like, on heroin or something, and when nothing could hurt her.
Perfect, right, yeah. I mean, I don't know, something aggressive. But, I don't know, it seems like... I actually thought to give her... I had a chocolate bar that I saved for you, so...
And you would give my chocolate bar away to an old lady that...
I guess that's fair. It crossed my mind, but I was really excited about sharing the chocolate with you, so I said, you know what, she didn't cry or make a stink, so I'll just let it lie.
But now, whatever I bite into that chocolate, I'm going to be thinking of her not biting into it, which is I guess that's a good thing, but I'm going to be guilty. I'm going to feel guilty.
Old woman sitting in first class, reeling in pain as you eat that chocolate.
What we should do, I can get on the computer now and get the passenger manifest for that flight.
Right.
And then we can figure out who she is and send her, like, a nice bouquet of, like, something.
Maybe. That would actually be nice. I feel
really
bad about it.
Do it soon before the pain gets worse.
I'm actually serious. That would be a nice gesture. You know, sending flowers and stuff, it's chivalrous, maybe, or old school, but... That stuff goes a long way in business and in friends and in, you know, a card here. I experienced the same thing with Mother's Day. I had a successful plan for my mother and, you know, things like that. That's important.
Wait, did you assault this woman on Mother's Day? Oh, no, it was day after Mother's
Day. Day after, yeah.
Because that really would have been.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a way, yeah.
Can I tell you my Mother's Day story?
First class is weird, though. It's just the same as the rest of the book.
We'll get back to first class.
Yeah.
I want to tell my Mother's Day story before
yeah,
I forget.
Sure, go ahead.
Because I don't have very many Mother's Day stories.
I'll be here all hour, man.
Well,
I'm here to talk.
I decided I wanted to get my hair done. You know, occasionally I do that. It does happen.
Okay.
This doesn't happen by magic, you know. It does take some maintenance. People, that is a secret there, I'm telling you, that don't expect it. You know, you gotta maintain things to achieve this level of, you know...
Gorgeousness?
Fine, all right. Whatever words people want to use out there, I'm not going to stop them, but...
Is it painful?
Really? Look, I looked it up in advance because I've been screwed by this in the past where I've discovered that hair salons, for some reason, are closed on Monday. all right, fine. So I said, all right, I can do this on Saturday, but you know what? I'm kind of busy. I'll do it on Sunday because they're open on Sunday. Yeah, they're open on Sunday. I checked the hours. I actually went online and checked. So Sunday comes, and I parade myself down there expecting to get my hair, you know, all fixed up and stuff like that. And not only are they closed, there's no sign saying why they're closed. They're just dark. Everything, I figure, okay, whatever. Maybe they just... didn't feel like coming into work. I don't know what the work ethic in America is these days. I went to another one, same thing. Even though they say they have Sunday hours on the door, they're closed. Then I realized it's Mother's Day. Mother's Day must be some kind of holiday in the hair salon world. I never knew this before, and they sure don't tell you. And I realized as I was going from place to place to place that every single one was following the same exact guidelines. But then I also realized something else. There are these other salons called nail salons. I had no idea how many nail salons there were around here. It seems every shopping center has a nail salon. And all of those nail salons were open. And I was asking myself, well, if hair salons closed down for Mother's Day, why don't nail salons too? Don't they both cater mostly to female crowds? Don't mostly female employees work there? I mean, there's all kinds of generalizations I could make, but if you're going to say all hair salons must close on Mother's Day, why don't nail salons as well? And why are there so many nail salons? Are people really getting their nails done all the time like this? Incredible. I learned a lot this weekend. And I finally found a place, too. I found a place way out of the way that I'd never been to before, and I probably never will go to again, but it was good. I was happy.
Well, if you have any information about this, please email us at otw@2600.com.
Honestly, I had no idea there were so many nail salons. You don't see these things unless you start looking, and they're just everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have a single Vietnamese restaurant in Long Island, but we must have 1,000 nail salons. Why
is
that?
There's a lot of ladies. They got to keep their
stuff.
There's
a lot of Vietnamese ladies,
good,
you
know?
Too, you know? It's just not fair.
Maybe. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I'll bet that, there are all kinds of people that can get their nails done and then have some pho afterwards, you know, the Vietnamese soup.
Maybe you could have a fusion nail salon pho place.
Why not? Why not
there
do that?
There you go. There you go.
See, people on Long Island, they don't even know what pho is. Am I saying it right? Pho?
Not,
pho. Pho is how it's spelled, so you want to say pho, but it's not.
Pho.
Because there's a place called What the Pho, and it doesn't work if you say What the Pho.
What the fuh?
Yeah, that's a place somewhere in some part of the country. And that's the thing, you know, there are cities like Austin, Texas that have 100 Vietnamese restaurants. Why does Austin, Texas get to have that and not anywhere in Long Island? And I'm not counting Brooklyn and Queens, even though technically they're Long Island. But you know what I mean, Nassau and Suffolk County. If anyone out there wants to join me in this crusade to, like, bring Vietnamese food to Long Island, let me know. And the other thing, I might have mentioned this before, occasionally places take a cautious step into Vietnamese food. Like, for instance, there are Thai places. Sometimes Thai places have a dish known as summer rolls, which are kind of like glass rolls or something like that, that is a Vietnamese dish. And it's always taken off the menu within weeks. And there was a sushi place that had Vietnamese sandwiches. And then they said, no, we only have that for lunch. And then I called them during lunch and said, we don't have that anymore. So, I don't know. Something weird is going on in Long Island about Vietnamese food.
I hope you people here on Long Island are listening. You have a crisis. Please take it to heart.
Well, I don't want to exaggerate. It's not really a crisis. It's just an annoyance. Well, it could become a crisis, but it's right now.
You know, if someone made it a crisis, I think it would be fixed, E.
Yeah. I'm willing to make it a crisis. If that's what people want me to do, I'll make it a crisis.
I think that's what this is. I think this is a call. This is a plea. This is a cry for help. Why not? This is radio. This is the importance. This is a community. You're noticing something about the community. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so all points alert. Please, somebody, get working on this. So what else we got? What are we talking
about? Well, you were talking more about first class.
Yeah, I mean,
tell us what happens when you're actually there, when you're not attacking fellow passengers and sweating up a storm,
sure,
and making a big scene.
Right.
You actually at some point get up in the air, and what goes on there? Masseuses,
yeah,
or how does it work?
Let's see if I can do it in a nutshell in like under a minute.
From what I hear, first class is a nutshell.
Yeah. They started. They asked us what kind of drinks we wanted. I don't know.
What kind of drinks?
They
I want all the drinks.
They passed around menus, and then they did drink service, and you know, we had a choice. Actually, no, one of the choices of the entrees was not available. So.
And that was the one you wanted, right?
Right. And then I wanted choice. And to then have her get to me out of 8 people, like, why, you know, I feel like it's the mechanics who are changing the oil. Like, they came in and took the first class dinners.
Other people took the choice you wanted, so it was all used up?
Right,
because
I was
you're
in
the
back
end,
of
end
first,
of first
class.
That's what I was telling you, man.
Yep.
It's a class system,
right?
Within first class.
Right, yeah.
Wow.
No, I truly did. I experienced this. So, I just didn't have the choice. So then I asked for the pork.
You can say this on the air.
Pork tenderloin.
You can say that on the air.
Was
couldn't
one
years
of the
ago.
Options.
Mm-hmm.
And the beef Wellington was sold out, right? So,
I say beef Wellington because that's an actual proper name. Wellington.
Wellington.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, it's a dish. Back. Whatever. So, and she corrected me. She's like, no, I'm sorry, we don't have that. And I was like, wait, you don't have it? And then she was wrong. She's like, oh, yeah. I mean, so the first class flight attendant, she was a bit out of it. She was a bit off. And I was hearing a lot of apologizing, too, because this guy kept the guy next to me kept asking for wine or something.
No, you told me this. He just kept saying red wine.
Yeah, red wine. And he had his earplugs in. And
he banged the table with his cup too.
Digi player, and you know, yeah, they offer you the digi players, and you can watch all kinds of stuff, and I don't know, there was a lady who was very obnoxious and loud up front. She was sort of, like, selling people behind her, and the seats in first class are wider, so you can actually talk to
people.
What
do you mean she was selling people behind her?
I'm not done with that sentence. Okay. I described something.
Please come back to it. I'm curious.
Yeah, yeah. She's selling people on these noise-canceling headphones, and I was hoping that she would wrap her noise-canceling headphones around her face because she was just so loud and obnoxious about it, and she's selling it to people that are like three rows back. Oh, yeah, you should get it, and oh, yeah, just cancel out all the
How
noise.
How does she talk to somebody who's three rows behind her?
Well, this, as I said, the seats are very, very wide.
Yes.
And so you can actually look someone in the face who's four rows in front of you if they're turned around looking between the seats.
You can turn the seats around.
You cannot turn the seats around. I'm saying there are two on each side of the aisle, and the armrest in between is not the typical 3 or 2.5 inch armrest you get in an airplane. It's about like 8 inches or 10 inches long. So that space then between seats allows you a field of view several rows ahead of you, or in her case, behind. So I'm looking at her in the face while she's talking about, you know, I'm just leaning over, looking forward, just what, you know, what.
If you could give her a good glare, then she might catch sight of it.
Well, I was happy enough. I mean, what, I was pleased as punch to get.
You're always so nice and polite when you're on airplanes and on trains and things like that. You treat the people well who are serving you. We talked about this last night, actually, just the whole service mentality, this person bringing you things and how you speak to those people. So many people speak down to them. And I imagine in first class, you might have seen that quite a bit.
Yeah, and that's my point. The guy next to me was just barking, you know, red wine, red wine.
You should have hit him with the bottle.
With his, you know, his jowls blubbering over or whatever. I don't
next
know.
Next time, just Carl, hit the people who deserve it with the bottle because, you know, that's when you make a point.
Right?
Yeah, instead of attacking defenseless old women.
I'm just polite.
No, you'll get there, though. You need to attack somebody. It's just the right person.
I should be meaner to, in crucial ways.
Well, what I'm getting out of this, first class is every bit as annoying as coach far as the people that are there.
Definitely the takeaway,
yeah.
Probably more annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
because they feel they're above everybody else, and they really aren't.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And just, when I was in there, I was being stared at. I don't know, I just think...
Oh, because you were new to the club. I didn't know who you were.
Right.
There's only about 30 first-class people in the whole country.
Right. I mean, it's a diverse group of people. I mean, obviously, okay, so the older people, they want to take first class for reasons of comfort, right? I mean,
everybody... they won't get beaned with a bottle.
Right,
in the first
they won't
class.
Get beaned
they
with a bottle from some jerk face. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So, and, you know, everybody's got different reasons, but, you know, it's the same... I think at least you get a little more room, but I don't know. It wasn't like...
Well, comfort-wise, yeah. I mean, you everyone should have that amount of room. When you sit on an airplane, I just cannot believe how little space you're given. Like, if you drop something on the floor, you say goodbye to it because there's no room to reach down and get it. You know, you're so squeezed in between people and in front of you and behind you, to the left, to the right.
Well, there's feeling
you can't do anything.
But... Don't you feel like there's less... I feel like there's less pretension. Like, the social... You're in a group of 10 people. Mm-hmm. So, people, they look at each other. They understand, like, what they're all about. Very, you know, you interpret people in this small group.
Yes.
Whereas, like, when you're cramped in coach, you don't have, like... It doesn't matter if, like, somebody next to you is, like, some executive or sports figure, whatever. Some amazing person. We're all, like... You know, 80 of us in it together.
Yeah, well, that misery
so you
basically,
feel like...
you know, you don't have much pretension when there's misery. I mean, if you're riding a fourth class train in India with three chickens,
you know,
and a goat, you know, you're not going to really be judging people. You just kind of get through the thing.
Right. It's all like we're all, everybody has like a threshold, and people understand that there's a certain attitude, a certain rapport, certain courtesy that. You know, you don't take it too far in coach, you know.
Unless somebody steps out of line
and
let them have it. You get old Jerry Springer on it.
Well, and that's you know, when things really do happen on airplanes, that's what happens in coach. People tackle passengers.
And it's not just limited to the passengers. It's like the crew gets involved, too.
It is, you know, a bigger, broader slice of society in coach, whereas in first class you just have, like, a handful of people and... there's no camaraderie. There's no the conversation. I talked to the guy next to me for like a second. It was like I was like, "Oh, are you local?" Because he had asked me the same thing, and I was like, "You know what? You want to talk or
Mr.
what?"
Mr. Red Warren, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just when we sat down, but yeah. Like, I made it clear I was going to read the whole time.
I never talk to people on planes. I just don't.
I don't.
I mean,
really,
you know, if it gets, you know, interesting.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's something to actually talk about. But I don't like talking just for the sake of talking. Really don't like that. I don't like when someone behind me at the grocery store decides to start a conversation about, oh, the line's long today. It's like, yeah, you know what? I'd rather just stare into space. I don't need this.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that makes me antisocial, but I'm good with it.
Your mental environment is an important thing, and actually noise is is an amazing source of pollution in our society. So.
And people's voices, too, add to that noise. I just want to make sure I don't give the wrong impression here. I would love nothing better than to ride in a fourth-class train in India with three chickens and a goat. I mean, wouldn't that be cool? That'd be great. If we did some audio with that, it would be awesome. And a great place to see. I've never seen it. But, yeah.
Three chickens and a goat.
Well, that's how you do it there. That and the Babylon branch of the Long Island Railroad.
Do we get to keep the goat?
If it's yours, you do.
Okay, so there was fabric, tablecloth, and lots of silverware.
Whoa.
I'm still talking about first class.
Tablecloth?
Man.
Wait,
yeah,
you had a table.
I had a tablecloth on my tray. I had, you know, mugs.
How big was your table that you had a tablecloth?
Well, it's like one of these fold-out arm things, but yeah.
Okay.
That was the only other thing I noticed. You know, there was actual cutlery. And I actually know a guy that has an extensive collection of old airline cutlery that was metal, because after 9/11 they got rid of it all.
Really? You don't get a steak knife, I take it. You get like regular metal.
Just a butter knife. It's not anything jagged.
What happens if you order the steak,
the
though?
The fork could be interesting. I guess
your nails could be a weapon if you let them grow. There's all
right.
kinds of things you could do.
Right.
It's an illusion of security. Someone clever, you know, not the idiots that try to like take down airliners these days, but someone actually clever from the James Bond movie would figure it out, you know, even if he didn't have any clothes on. He'd figure out a way to attack people and cause mayhem.
But, yeah. So, but there was no attacking. There was no attacking
yeah,
on this one. And
that's good.
Really, I just didn't want to be confrontational with the stewardess. She was taking great care of me, and I kind of gave her a wink and just, like, smiled, like, hey, I'm not one of these jerks, you
yeah.
know, just trying to recognize that, like, yeah, she's busy. She's working on stuff, and she kind of got that.
Mm-hmm.
We were just, I'm big into body language. I have friends that are hearing impaired and stuff, so I mean, body language is big with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, no, it very much is.
So I,
and that's how you do so well overseas, too, because not even knowing the language, the body language is how you communicate
right.
certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
And it,
so,
it goes a long way.
Yeah, she was really sweet to me, and, you know, I got anything I wanted, you know, they offer you rolls, and, you know, the food was decent, the salad was really good, you know, it was good food,
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, she was all over, sorry, excuse me.
Whack the microphone.
I know, I'm getting all illustrative with my,
You're flailing your arms about now,
arm
this whole
movement.
Story, I'm glad I'm standing all the way over here.
But I was going nuts towards the end of the flight, like, with allergies, and, the dry air, I think, you know, you get all
the... How do you get allergic on an airplane?
Well, I haven't been, you know, my medication's been a bit weird lately, just because I've been busy trying to get prepared to come out here, and
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, the 5 or 7 days straight in Washington, just all sorts of sun, the pollen just starts flying around.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get 100 people on the plane coming from all parts of the state, whatever kind of trees and pollen around them, so it's just on the plane circulating this, you know, nice dust from all over, a nice sample from all over wherever people were in the state. It was driving me crazy, and she actually went and got me tissues. You know, it's great, you know, like, they'll do whatever you want, and I didn't abuse it. I was just like, in need. I didn't want to get up and, you know, walk all the way across to get stuff out of my bags that
right.
I had described as a pain. So, but overall it was good, and I made it, and I'm here, and yeah, it's the same, I think, if not worse, because of that pretension thing we talked about.
And it was a lot faster too than the train. The train took you like 3.5 days, and this took you about 4.5 hours.
Yes.
Actually, there have been train trips from here to the city that took longer than that.
Yeah, they were hauling. They were going really, really fast. When we took off, those engines were whining. I don't know if they were Pratt & Whitney, Rolls-Royce, or CFM engines, but they were...
When I pulled the passenger manifest, maybe that information will be there,
too. I actually liked the view, too, because I got to look at the intake of the jet,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of neat, and I'm big into fuel and transportation, so I was watching the fins spin on it. It's such amazing engineering, and to imagine this heavy thing, and I look at the wings, and I'm like, how do they fit all the fuel, or like, what's the diameter, like, what's the flow rate for that big engine?
I don't like to ask those questions while we're aloft. I'd rather wait till we land and ask, how did they do that?
Yeah, it's wild, engineering and stuff. So. Mm-hmm, but absolutely. I enjoy my trip. I'm here, and I don't know, what else is going on? Did you get any stories, or what's new?
Oh, I've got a bunch, but, you know, I don't know if we're going to have time to even get to them, because we have other things to talk about. In fact, some very sad news, actually, that if you have not already heard, WUSB has lost another icon in our broadcast schedule, Teresa Zapolska, who has done the Polka Show here for as long as we can remember, has passed away, in addition to Jerry Reamer earlier this year. It's been a tough year so far. And Finn is here to share a couple of memories. Finn was standing today, so don't expect any chairs.
Yeah, there's no chairs. It's like standing room only.
It's a better. I feel this, you can just gesticulate, as Kyle's been doing. Watch out, you might get hit
for
in the
your
face.
Circulation.
Yeah, and it's, you can sort of walk around, turn easier. It's fine. You feel like you're linked to the old days of radio.
Yes, I also find you can spit farther.
You can spit
with height.
Over here now. Here I am.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's a better. You should try it.
It is.
We'll take the chairs out of the studio and basically people will be forced to.
That'll be the new thing.
Right?
As soon as we take the tables out, we'll have to hold our information, and we'll be like old-time newscasters.
Now, you're going to be doing we're doing something special here at USB in honor of Teresa. That every Sunday, in place of Teresa being there, someone's going to fill in and do a polka show through the summer, I believe.
Exactly, yeah. We're going to be playing, I mean, I don't know about everybody, but I think every DJ is, anyone who's been listening to the station for a very long time has even stumbled upon Polka Country USA on Sunday and didn't know anything about polka music and maybe was bemused or interested or whatever the case may be. Teresa was a dynamo. Mm-hmm. Teresa was a power in the community in terms of her personality. Everyone loved Teresa. I worked the Riverhead Polish Festival a few times with her, and to see, you know, people coming by literally paying homage to Teresa was always an amazing thing, and a great singer herself and a songwriter. But yeah, so for the summertime, you know, since Teresa has passed on, we're going to be doing fill-ins. Everyone's going to take a turn. All the people in her family, as she always referred to us all in the WUSB family, we're going to be taking turns doing the polka show. And in my particular case, I'm incorporating lots of bits of her previous shows throughout the years. So we'll be hearing a lot of Teresa on the air, in addition to some current and believe it or not, there is. Everyone always asks, you know, where do they get those new polka players from? But they're out there, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
There's some great bands out there. I may play a couple tonight, actually. Polka Side is one of them. Polkaholics is another one. All my favorite polka bands. But, yeah, Teresa, amazingly diverse and just great, great stuff. And we're going to be doing this weekly throughout the summer. And I have to say, you know, if the listeners want to continue to hear polka on this station, they should definitely write to the station.
I'd like to go back in time just a little bit to 1991 when we were finishing up a radiothon here at WUSB, and I actually was at the microphone, and it seemed like everybody involved in the station was here at some point. You'll hear all these different voices, including three of our departed members, Teresa, who calls in, not realizing she was going to be on the radio, which I think was kind of funny. Jerry is in the background, Jerry Reamer, and also Sindor, I don't know if you remember her.
Sure, yeah.
A terrific volunteer, all of whom have passed away over the years. But you just get a sense of the family that WUSB was at that time, continues to be this day.
Exactly.
And just the spirit, that which I think will never die. That's why I think this place will always be broadcasting, regardless of what goes on in the world and what goes on around us. Let's listen to the end of Radiothon 1991. Hear Teresa calling into the radio station.
Fantastic.
Get into that. But all right, folks, it's 12 midnight. Technically, the Radiothon is over.
Okay, go home.
Yeah, go home. If,
oh, you are home.
Yeah, I feel like I am. 632-6901. I'm going to keep saying that for a couple of days. But, you know, while we're packing up, maybe you want to call us and give us a pledge. Our final total so far is a palindrome. Can you believe this? $22,022.
Thank you.
And that's appropriate in a palindrome year, is it not?
That's right.
1991, 22022.
You give us $22,000.
for $22, and we give you the world.
Teresa's on the phone. Put her on the phone.
Teresa's on the phone.
Put the poster on the phone.
Teresa, are you there?
Yes.
Hello, how are you? You're on the air.
I'm on the air.
You're on the air. Did you want to be on the air? Where this is the last possible moment of Radiothon, and
unless you get here real quickly, this will have to do.
Yeah. You have anything to say to our listeners?
Can people still call in?
Well, they can technically, and if they call in the next couple of minutes, they'll catch us as we're walking out the door. But yeah, they can call in.
Uh huh. Yeah, that'd be very nice if they would just call in and, you know, add their last minute donation, right?
Certainly would be.
Yeah, I hope they do that. We'll be standing by and taking their calls.
Teresa, are we going to be hearing from you tomorrow?
I don't know. That's why I wanted to talk to Cindy.
Sing us a little polka song, Teresa. Maybe they'll call up with 10 more dollars, all those little polka fans out there.
I should sing a little polka song?
Yeah.
We've got to have one over
the phone. Okay, roll out the dollars. We'll have a barrel of fun. Oh, it'd be nice if everybody would call. And I'm sure they realize the importance of it all. And, want to be part of the USB families. That's what they should do.
Uh-huh.
And I hope they do. You have a few minutes here to do it. And, you know, get up off the easy chair and do it.
Well, Teresa has put in an extraordinary amount of effort into the Radiothon herself with her Polka Festival last Sunday. We want to thank her for all the effort she put into that and thank all of her listeners and callers. And thank everybody that's called in so far, because you've really been great to us, and we hope to be great to you in the future. And hopefully we'll get everything that we want, and, you know, you'll get everything you want. Didn't say again?
Is there a polka category?
Is there a polka category in the Grammy Awards, we're wondering?
Yes, they did have one.
Just this year, right?
Yes, they did.
Who won?
They've had it for the last 8 years.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ah, so who won this year?
Jimmy Steer.
Jimmy Stewart, does that mean something to you?
Star. By your tongue, Jimmy Stewart.
I really like soup.
Would you roll off? Andy Makroff will have your head on that one.
We're going out ugly here.
Well, Teresa, I'm going to...
It's delicious.
I'm going to put you back on.
You're having a good party. Maybe I should come down.
I'll be with you in a minute, Teresa.
I'm going to put you on hold for Cindy.
Okay.
And, yes, well, this technically is not brain damage.
Hey, Frank is here.
All right, Frank.
Frank. Yeah. Frank is... Rejoicing.
Really Frank is the person that will.
Transmitter is going to give me.
He's the person that's going to personally carry our transmitter down to the new site.
I've done it. Easter, the second time of the year. Yeah. Frank, like, yeah. Long walk down Mickey's Road.
In front of
hopefully this year, Mike, you will fall off the table once again.
Oh, no. Okay, careful. Okay, Eric. So, how about what did the fabulous Thunderbird say? Wrap it up.
What did Gary Gilmore say? Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I like that one better.
Just do it.
And there was much rejoicing. Yes, we're going to go on to No Sound Test now, I guess, right? Back to normal programming on WUSB. Again, thanks, everybody.
Okay.
All right.
Bye,
Gary Pecorino, I see you way out in there in the hallway.
See you.
All right.
Bye, Norm. Bye.
Stay tuned for Cabrette next, and gosh, you know, I don't really know what I'm going to do next.
Thank you, darn it. Thank you.
Are you coming out from the other studio?
Yeah.
Say thank you.
How are you? Oh, we're going to put a little patch cord in there? Okay. Well, good night, folks. We'll see you next week, and thanks again. If you want to call us up, 632-6901 is our phone number. But you really better hurry, because this is it.
And the best thing we could say is... stay tuned, because there's a show coming up.
Yeah. Good night, folks.
Dead air. Dead air. You never have dead air in radio.
We need to listen to the national anthem.
No, we can't
now.
Do this. This is how radio works. You're supposed to have something on the air at all times.
He's not ready yet.
He's not ready. He's not ready yet.
Eric, you're getting ready to play the label. If that helps.
No. Play the label. Oh, no, no. He sent you that. No. Well, we gotta fill the time somehow. Can anybody sing a song or something while we're waiting for the?
Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 let me down the stream. Merrily, 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 let
me down the stream. Jim Merrick's tap dancing.
Well, that worked really well.
Go back to dead air.
632-6...
Wait, no.
Nine oh one. I have to stop saying that.
What number? Not to call.
Number nine.
Anytime you're ready.
It's anytime your bread is ready.
Oh, he's not ready yet? Well, I guess we can fill another minute or so.
He's ready.
Is he ready?
Another song?
I think.
Oh, no.
Nope.
The Dread Jim Wiener
returns. Don't pull that because it'll fall down and it'll make all this noise. You don't want to do that now, do you?
Actually, look at this.
Jim 632-6901. Someone cut me up. I can't help but say that all the time.
If you're sick of hearing that phone number, call us.
Oh, I know what we can do. We can play the promotion for the show that's up ahead. How's that? Can we do that?
You're very witty.
All right, here it is. Okay, well, let's get, step back to 2012 here. That was a blast in the past, wasn't it, Finn?
Absolutely, yeah.
Everybody in the studio, everybody in the station was in the studio, it seemed.
Everyone was packed in there, it seemed. I don't know how we all fit in here.
So that was basically a memory of Teresa, and there'll be many more memories of her in the weeks and months ahead. I also want to just delve into one of her musical pieces here. This is something that we have on our iTunes here. It's called Laura... Phelan says undecipherable Polish title.
Called By a Vowel.
By Frank Wojnarowski and Teresa Zapolska. And that's Teresa singing here. Yes, and I didn't know she sang Polish so well, but Teresa Zapolska, our own, remembering her and thanking her for all the hours that she brought us here on this radio station. It's amazing what you learn here. Anyway, Finn, I'm sure we'll be talking more about this after the hour, and of course tune in on Sunday evenings, I think from 5 to 7, for new polka hosts that will be filling in all summer. Where did Carl go? Oh, there you are. You're back at me. I'm standing up, and you were moving around the studio. So
no, I was just noticing there's a camera in the studio. I was wondering if we were being watched.
Oh, look at that. It's a little webcam. I don't think it's actually in use.
Yeah, I think it's unplugged.
So, okay. Yes, we stepped out of our story about first class and traveling and things like that. But let's step ahead now. We're actually going to be traveling in the next week. In fact, I'm not sure what's going to be on the air next week. We might do a pre-recorded program if we can actually get our external microphones to work. We're having a little bit of trouble with that. And if we're able to, we will have a recorded show for the next week or two.
Well, maybe your EFP, electronic field production package, can be upgraded as well.
That's what I'm hoping. I really am hoping to get some customer support in that particular field. Because there are so many things you can do. With a good microphone, with a good recording.
Several.
Well, I recorded when I was riding the Five Borough Rye. I was recording, but it didn't turn out well because apparently I didn't have a windscreen on the microphone, so most of it is just the sound of the wind. Which
you're really exposed there on the bridge and stuff.
I was standing on top of the Verrazano Bridge, and I was just basically pouring out my heart, and none of it is listenable. Well, that's okay. You know, the ride is the important thing. And let's talk about the ride a little bit. You went on a ride 2 days ago, which was... It put mine to shame, which, you know... It should, because 40 miles is good, but it's not great. It's okay. But the things you're doing are simply amazing. You're riding up, we were talking about the hills you were riding up, 20%
grades, yeah.
Wow. Just to give perspective, what can you compare that to?
The hypotenuse of a...
Yeah, something people might understand.
Pythagorean. I don't know.
There's something in life that's 20% rise up, like a doorstopper or something. I don't know.
Yeah, kind of like that. That's a good analogy. It's a pretty right angle, or not right angle.
let me see that.
It's a steep incline. Uh-huh. Very steep incline.
You have no trouble going up a hill like that.
How do you like hills.
How do you do that? For people there that are afraid of hills, what advice can you give them? How do you come to like a hill?
Prepare yourself. Get in the right gear. Relax. Mm-hmm. start your breathing.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get in a good breathing cycle because you're going to need that halfway and at the top, so you're in the right gear. Plan out when you're going to start standing on your pedals.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big one. Like,
standing on your pedals. I haven't done that.
Yeah. So you get off your seat when you hit that hill, and, you know, you might be in that low gear, and then as soon as it starts getting, you know, be ready to hop up,
uh-huh.
and then that way you're putting more of your weight forward, so you got to prepare your arms and your shoulders to, like, hold your weight, and then you do a lot of pushing. You work the front wheel.
Uh-huh.
Like, I use my forearms and stuff a lot. As you pedal, that keeping that front wheel straight and going up the hill as you're...
But are you zigzagging going up the hill, or are you going straight?
Well, that's another tactic. That's like a cat track.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying if you're going straight up, you're going to rock back and forth a little bit as you pump with, you know, right, left as you're pedaling. So you sync up your arms in the same way and put most of the weight on the front of your front wheel. But you could also cat track if it gets tough. And on the 20%, we did a little of that. But I was riding with someone who hadn't been out in a while. And
uh-huh.
it's really weird. I'm, like, turning a lot of people onto bicycling. I haven't been doing much, like, fundraising for different events and stuff like that. But in my personal life, I'm creating my own bicycle team.
Yeah,
and that's kind of cool. It's something I've been wanting to do, and I've been talking about it, and it's finally sort of happening in unexpected ways.
Well, you spread the good news to me, and then I went on the airwaves and started preaching the gospel to the people out there, and then I'm hearing back from them and saying that they really want to be able to see the light and move forward ahead with their lives and things like that. So, yeah, there's a lot of credit I think is due to you for basically opening up our eyes.
Yeah. Well, and that's neat.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm doing things I never thought I would actually be able to do as easily as I'm doing them.
But, I like amazing people. I like going out and, like, showing people that's accessible, and it's, like, the hardest part is getting out the door, that whole thing. And
yes,
especially with spring. I mean, even last time I was here, I was talking about, hey, you got to get ready. You know, spring's coming, and now we're here, and, you know, I feel really good.
I was talking to you yesterday about just thinking about other trips we could take, like,
yeah.
you know, out on the East End, perhaps, and just riding around. And bike paths are improving. In fact, New York City is really making some advancements in the bike culture. They're going to have a share a bike program where basically you go up to a corner, you're a member, you pay like, I think, $90 a year or something like that, and you just take a bike, take it to someplace you need, park it, or return it at that point. And it's just basically you can get anywhere in the city by bike at any time, and it's not your bike. You just simply borrow one, bring it to another place. Kind of like a Zipcar thing, I guess, except with a bike. And that's really good. It's only good, though, if the infrastructure supports it, if the bike lanes are safe, if people know how to ride safely, if other vehicles respect them and things like that. And it's a process. We're getting there.
When you said that to me, what struck me is like, wow, if you can fit 10 bikes in the spot that one car would fit, that's better for the community because you're
mm-hmm.
encouraging other forms of transportation. But I could go on and on and on and on about bicycles. I really love it, and really, the best thing is, like, you think of so many things in your life that are the same, like in your office, in your house, in your car, but if you're interfacing, and, like, your access to the world is much different on a bicycle, I like the mental agility of, like, there's all sorts of decisions and little challenges. Am I going to run over that crack? Am I going to turn
right,
here, that?
Right.
You're interactive, and, like, you're much more interactive, and like, it's great exercise for your mind and your body, and you're intimate with the world. Like, if somebody's walking, you can say hi, you know, you can hear.
Yeah, get out of the way.
You're not isolated, like, in a car and stuff like that. I guess that's, motorcyclists feel the same way, but
they make a lot of noise.
There's a lot more noise, yeah, you can hear better on a bike, and
it's not as intimidating, and you do feel part of the community, and just the outdoors.
That's right.
I haven't had any real complications. The three rides I've taken this year, the three significant rides, have been very smooth, so I haven't had a flat tire or, you know, flown over my handlebars or anything horrible like that. But obviously I know there are challenges ahead. It hasn't even rained when I've been riding. I've been very lucky.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know it's going to be a bit more challenging, but I'm into it. You know, I like the idea of just getting out there and getting places, realizing, hey, I got here just on my own power. You know, I didn't use a single drop of fuel or anything. It didn't cost me a penny. I just used my muscles and got here. That's an incredible feeling.
You really start realizing that when you eat a meal and then use that energy and then have a good time while
mm-hmm.
you're on the handlebars,
yeah.
you start looking at the car in real funny ways, like, that's not as healthy as it is.
It's necessary sometimes.
You kind of ignore it when you're riding in the car, but when you ride a bike a lot, you start looking at the car and you're like, I don't need that as much as I think.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe you won't use it as much. Maybe you'll walk more or just won't use a car for the short little errands. I see people driving cars from one end of a parking lot to another. Ridiculous things like that. Maybe that'll stop.
if it's a lot of weight or you have to get there really fast or both, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Listen, we're out of time, but I want to say that we're going to England next week. We're actually taking some photos for the next edition of the Hacker Calendar for 2013. The theme will be surveillance. If you're in the UK and you know some places over there that has some real, the UK is the king of surveillance, so we know this. But if there's anything that you would like to suggest to us, and not just, you know, your camera staring at people, other forms of surveillance, motion detectors or weird things.
We're really interested in the salient, the stuff that's like counterintuitive, stuff you wouldn't associate with surveillance, but is a great illustrative kind of object or entity that we could go for.
We want to go to this place called Menwith Hill, which is like the British equivalent of the NSA, and they have all kinds of listening posts there. So, yeah, it's something to think about. We'll be taking trains, taking cars, things like that, meeting with all sorts of people. Write to us, otw@2600.com, if there's anything you want to suggest or would like to meet up with us. Maybe we'll find time. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward not only to seeing London, but seeing other parts of the country as well. And, of course, going down to pub, which is what people do there. So next week, who knows what's going to be on the air, but we'll certainly have some material to bring back from there. Kyle, it's a pleasure as always. You know, we didn't get any of this material I brought in because we were just so busy talking about life.
Oh, and I bet there's good stuff in there, too. I really wanted to hear some of your stories and whatever you were doing.
We deprive people.
I like that part of the show. Mm-hmm. I really like that about what you do. You know, you find interesting stuff, and so next time, maybe, I guess.
Well,
but
yeah, don't outshine the stories next time, and maybe we'll get to them. But,
all right, I'll try to be more droll and dull, and yeah, But it's good to be back. Thanks for having me, Long Island and New York and East Coast. So yeah,
and first class entry, for sure,
of course.
See you next week. Good night.